Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, November 6, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 163, the third paragraph. Our friend proceeded to tell him, through one paragraph ending, the stream of misery which flows through that institution. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nancy C., 12 Traditions, Joanne L., readers of the text, Lisa N., Laura L.W., and Penny L.C. The reference number for Sunday, November 5th, is 20,805. That's 20805. And for this morning, Monday, November 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,806. That's 20806. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lorraine N., and Lois P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your vital service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Nancy C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Nancy C. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Nancy C., and we'll now have Joanne L. read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. But we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 163, the third paragraph. Our friend proceeded to tell him, through one paragraph ending, the stream of misery which flows through that institution. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. And I'll now ask Lisa N. to begin reading.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Dawn, thank you for your beautiful service. This is Lisa N., compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Our friend proceeded to tell him, and with such good effect, that the doctor agreed to attest among his patients and certain other alcoholics from a clinic which he attends. Excuse me. Arrangements were also made with the chief psychiatrist of a large public hospital to select still others from the stream of misery which flows through that institution. And I can so relate to the stream of misery, remembering that stream of misery that I used to be in prior to this program. And that's what those doctors see, those psychiatrists see, a constant stream of it. And we have this beautiful program that takes us out of the stream of misery for ourselves, but puts us into it to help others, if that makes sense. So I don't know if you've experienced telling doctors about your program or not. Medical doctors may, in my opinion, have had they're glad for me, but they don't want to discuss it. I've had one doctor that was excited about this program when they heard it. It was a cardiologist, and he was excited to hear that I had lost weight through this program that he had never heard of. And I feel like for me, no matter what doctor I go to, it is up to me to inform them about my program, not you know, I can't be, what is the word? I can't be like overzealous. And, but I can tell them what worked for me and how it saved my life. And I feel like probably psychiatrists might be a little bit more open because they have to, they hear all kinds of things, and doctors, medical doctors do too. But I think medical doctors, remember Dr. Bob, he was afraid to have his name put out there because of what was said. And that still exists. That still exists, the of other doctors. I've heard of it because I know some. I know some doctors, and they, it is not always something that doctors can feel comfortable doing without maybe having somebody talk about them and like they're kind of crazy or whatever, but maybe a psychiatrist could be a little bit more open to it. I went to a psychiatrist years ago before program, and they never mentioned it. They had me go to a therapist, and that therapist never mentioned it. So as I recover in this program, I feel like it is my duty to pass this information on to their, to medical professionals so that people don't have to stay in that stream of misery. I guess that's all I have. I wish everyone a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa Ann, for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share often, please hang back and give others a chance to share, because we would love to hear from everyone here today. So go ahead and give me your name. Press star 1. Let me know your name and first initial of your last name if you'd like to share.
Amanda A. from California.
Amanda A.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Sally A. in New York.
Sally A. Let's go with those three to get us started. Amanda L., was there another person?
Oh, this was just Penny L.C.
Okay, I'll write you down, Penny L.C. Thanks so much. Okay, Amanda A., Deborah G., Sally A., and Penny L.C. So go ahead, Amanda, please share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name's Amanda A. I'm gratefully recovering in Southern California and so happy to be here. Reading this paragraph, it, you know, again, I guess I have a little bit of a different perspective because I do, you know, in my life, I work in the medical field, and it almost seems like reading this paragraph that this doctor is having like a spiritual awakening through these people, because, you know, again, like I know talking to others, other providers and patients and everything like that, they are intrigued and amazed at where, you know, where I've come, especially talking about my story. And I think it's such a beautiful thing, especially with how our meetings are now. Like you can go to a meeting from anywhere in the world and you can connect with people from all over. And I think that continuing to be involved in this program and continue to work this program, like, you know, attraction rather than promotion, and people are going to start to see that, like, wow, this is possible, and you can put down the food, you can have this food neutrality, and it doesn't have to be, you know, oh, you have to go on another diet, you have to have these other medications, you have to have all of this stuff. But at least for me, it was a process. When I first tried to figure out how to deal with my food, I did all the other stuff. I went to a therapist. I went, you know, I did all of this stuff for years before. And then once I came into OA, and especially when I found A Vision for You, it changed my life. And the amount of, I don't even know how to say it, but the amount of like progression I've gotten with my with my spirituality, with everything in a year, or even over the past couple of months, it has been exponentially, the growth is insane. And I look back on it, and the thing that's changed is like, okay, I've stopped trying to control everything. I've found a power that's greater than myself. I put down the food and I am staying in the middle of the herd. And even talking to my providers now, like their faces light up when I tell them about this, and they're just like, that's just so amazing from where you came from, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, and where I am now and the serenity that I have. And you know, again, like I attribute this to being in program, to being abstinent, and to developing this relationship with a power greater than myself, which I call God. So I'm just so grateful to be here, and thank you so much for everyone who's doing service. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Amanda A. from California. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Sally A.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Dawn, so much for your service this morning and everyone's service making this meeting possible and all of the shares. Thank you so much. I love we can all do this together. It just feels so good to come on and get connected with everyone. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us. I was remembering in 1986, I went for treatment in an inpatient treatment center. And I didn't even know this, but the treatment center and that also that worked there that were in 12-step program that I was in, and they knew I had an eating disorder, but I didn't. So they automatically put me in the purple group, which is spirituality, I thought too, for eating disorders. And I went for therapy and lectures and saw a nutritionist and food plan. And I can just imagine how the professionals felt with having to deal with these and maybe not knowing what to do, you know, and watching people go through it. I'm so grateful that it was a 12-step treatment center, you know, for resources. And the thing was, though, and I did get very good care, and they all cared about me. And you know what, though? I wasn't willing. Because I didn't even know I had one. You know, I was just doing what I always do. And so I just went along because I wanted to get it. I went in for alcohol and codependency, and I wanted to get some recovery, some healing, some something, you know, because it was getting too crazy. And so move on. You know, it wasn't until my abstinent date with my food is October of 2020. And it took all that. I've been to OA, but it took all that time. And I was in the program and going through the steps, but still not there yet. It took all that time to get to a place where I was really willing and surrendered and really embrace those beautiful 12 steps, embrace them, taking them from my head to my heart, down into my feet, getting a connection, a deeper relationship with that divine loving power, and staying connected, and then taking it to other people, those beautiful 12 steps, which I'm doing right now with two people. Okay, thank you so much, and I'm so grateful that I can do that today. That was given to me. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Sally A., please share with us, followed by Penny LC, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. If you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 163, talking about the third paragraph that starts with, our friend proceeded to tell him through that full paragraph ending the stream of misery which flows through that institution. Sally A., please go ahead and share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Sally A. in New York, newly recovered and still walking the walk. You know, I think that this paragraph is so interesting because AA has made such strides with alcoholism. And I know in my own work as a nurse that you can see AA meetings happening on, you know, on units where they are dealing with recovery, and they're very wide open to the big book and the study. But I feel that we have so much work to do in the area of our eating disorder. And I just had to say, so many times I myself have the attention of doctors, and I have brought this to the attention of even units that I've worked on, eating disorder units, who are still very close-minded to seeing this program in light of what's going on with AA. They don't seem to be able to equivocate what we do in our program. Many of them don't. I myself haven't really run into a psychiatrist who does. And I myself have worked with so many professionals in my own quest to find an easier, softer way. And I have figured that there's got to be more work that we have to do. We have to open our mouths, and we have to go forward and share when the door opens for us so that we can really make an effective change and provide more opportunities that they have in AA for each other. Because we all know that only we can affect a change in another compulsive overeater, that we need each other. And those people that are suffering, they need us. And so we have to somehow open our mouths and open our minds to be open to our higher power and God's leading for us to be useful. Because that really is a big part of the vision for us, so that we can heal, that we can share who we are, you know, our experience, our strength, and hope. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sally A. from New York. Penny L.C., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Thank you, Dawn, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And good morning to Dawn and everyone on the line. Full disclosure, I wasn't sure how to share on this paragraph, not having any medical connection to recovery per se, but I went ahead and wanted to share with you some ideas that were gleaned from the earlier meeting, and focusing in on the phrase, our friend proceeded to tell him. So when reaching out to newcomers, what do I tell them? Well, I guess the best thing I can do is tell them about a connection, lead them to a connection to a higher power and how they might find that connection. And, you know, focusing on a spiritual way of life. That's really the solution. As the big book offers on page 31, here are some methods we have tried. Of course, I can speak to the methods I have tried in my overeating. And share that with the newcomer. And there are tools and suggestions, but it does say in our OA script that the only requirement for membership is a desire to abstain from overeating, basically, it's paraphrased. But yet I was powerless to succeed on my own. And when I can pass that on, others will be able to identify. I came to learn that I needed to connect with a power greater than myself. And that higher power does not make hard the way to a relationship. It also mentions in the big book. self-reliance, well, that doesn't work. It is ill-equipped. My self-reliance is ill-equipped for this task. Human reliance, well, that doesn't work because it's fallible. But God reliance does work. It is the answer. So focusing on sharing the message of hope, this way of life is an alternate, as it has been for me, to the stream of misery. I would even say, as it was said, the river of misery or the torrent of misery that I used to experience in disease. What I really needed was spiritual alignment. Initially, fellows placed my hand in my higher power's hand, the higher power of my understanding. And I am blessed to help to do the same for others still suffering. So my mission, my goal, my responsibility is sharing the solution and the amazing truth that a newcomer need not suffer one more day. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. And now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy M.
Laura L.W. from Ohio.
Okay, I have Wendy M. and Laura L.W. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Dina A, New Jersey.
Dina A, New Jersey. Okay, let's start with that lineup. We have Wendy M, Laura LW, and Dina A. Wendy M, please go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Don. Thank you so much for your service. Wendy M recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And newly sponsoring and 90 days yesterday. Thank you, God. So I say that because if anybody's on the line who's having a rough ride, I'm so happy to help. I was 2 years in relapse until 90 days ago. So this is absolutely possible. If I can do it, you guys can do it too. And the word I liked was agreed. The doctor agreed. Like, had the doctor not agreed, we maybe wouldn't be on the line together, right? I mean, these are the miracles that happened. And I just want to share a little bit about my own experience with doctors. I remember at age 8, his name was Dr. Weil in Los Angeles, and he said to my mother, she needs to lay off the fried food. She's overweight. And I remember feeling completely demoralized. I knew that I was naughty and doing something wrong, and it was wrong that I was overweight. I mean, can you imagine if this doctor had read the big book, or better yet, the doctor's opinion, the game changer? I mean, you know, it was what it was, right? And then check this out. I was in rehab a couple of years ago for 30 days, and I said to the nutritionist, you know, this is my plan. I go according to the doctor's opinion and the big book. And she said, we don't do that here. We do intuitive eating. So we're going to really strongly suggest you do some intuitive eating. Well, the overeater in me, the addict, was like, this sounds great. And I think I put on about 40 pounds in 30 days. But it just, I just say that because we had tons of 12-step meetings, but there was no Overeaters Anonymous. I remember they thought it was just too controlling, probably, and we need to start intuitively eating. But I'm an overeater who has an allergy and an obsession of the mind. So if you tell me intuitive eating, that's just an opening. You know, that's an invitation to just eat and eat and eat, which is what I did. And then I remember once I had a dentist, and I had probably 10 root canals in one day because of how much sugar I had. And he said, you are so overweight. You got to just lay off the sugar. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, can you imagine these doctors, right? And then just like less than a year ago, my son and I are in the doctor's office And he says, you know, she says, you need to lose some weight. And and her prescription was to diet and just move your body more. Now, you know, anybody on this line knows that's not going to work. And this is just like maybe 6 months ago. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado, and congratulations. Laura L.W., please share with us, followed by Dina A.
Hi, good morning. This is Laura L.W., recovered for today only, based on the maintenance of my spiritual condition in Ohio. And when I read this, I thought it was very interesting. And the thing that jumped out at me was this stream of misery that flew through the institution, because I have a lot of stream of miseries that flowed through me, especially before I put down the food. And then I remembered stream. Oh yeah, we talk about the stream of life. And on page 86, we talk about the stream of life every day that we're trying to pack things into. And I thought the difference on the stream of misery and the stream of life. My stream of misery for me was I was my own higher power. I prayed for myself only. I was morbidly reflecting on my doom and gloom all the time. And then the difference now through recovery one day at a time is the stream of life that I'm experiencing, that I get to pause. Most importantly, I have a conscious contact with God. I never had that. I follow a big book of instructions to the T. I never followed anything in my life except my own wants and needs. So I see this stream of life and this stream of misery mentioned twice in the big book, and I thought it was interesting. And I'm just so grateful that I finally did concede to my innermost self that I was addicted to food, and it led me to compulsively overeating and helped me to find this meeting. And I thank you, God, and I thank you, my fellows, that you accept me, and I'm here one day at a time. And it's my pleasure to be here. And with that, I'll pass. And I also want to add another good thing I forgot. I smashed any illusion that I had control over my eating and my crazy thoughts about food. We're not like other people. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura L.W. Dina A., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names. And just a quick reminder, we are on page 163. Talking
hey there,
about the
Dina
third...
A.
Oh, yeah, just one moment, second.
Yes, sir. I'll give you a second.
Oh, no worries. We're on page 163, talking about that third paragraph that starts with our friend proceeded to tell him. Go ahead, Dina. Please share with us.
Hi there, Dina A. from New Jersey. Basically, cleaning my feet, I'm usually never on live, and it's so nice to be able to say hi to my fellows that I listen to every day. The sentence phrase that popped out for me was the stream of misery which flowed through this institution. And just, it's putting me, like reminding me of another phrase in the big book that I really like, that their misery was of their own making. And just this new realization, it's not so new, but like newest program, which has been a lot of years, that the misery that I choose to live through even today, because I'm gratefully recovering and not yet recovered the vision way, when I try to control things and try to figure it out myself, I will be experiencing misery even if I don't call it misery. And it flows through. But gratefully, I'm so grateful today that I have a higher power, that I can just relax into his love and know that I don't have to control things, because I couldn't even as much as I tried. And I love what my sponsor always said, we quit playing God, not because it wasn't my favorite pastime, but because it really doesn't work. And God pleased it beautifully. And when I could relax into his love and calm myself down, you know, from what I want to happen, and what I need to happen, and what will not be okay and absolutely cannot happen. And just relax into loving higher powers' arms. Put all my kids in there too. I really got myself out of that stream of misery into a beautiful way of living that doesn't need food to get me through. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Dina A. from New Jersey. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Joan Marie.
Very good. Joan Marie.
Shirley R.
Shirley R. Okay, I have Janice K., Joan Marie M., and Shirley R. Anyone else? Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. Janice K., please share with us.
Okay, this is Janice
Sarah,
K.
Sorry,
in...
Sarah M.
I got you, Sarah. Thank you, Janice. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
This is Janice K. in Oregon. What strikes me is that all the doctor agreed to was a test. Show me what you can do. So when I talk to a doctor, I go in with my elevator speech. I tell them what my blood pressure, I refer to the year. They're my doctor. They have access to my medical records. They can look and they can see that by the grace of God, I have redone my blood chemistry. They can look back, and I give them a year to go to because it's kind of like the anchor point for them. They can look at that, and they can see what we program can do. All we need is a test. The thing is, it says that he agreed to a test among his patients and certain other alcoholics. Okay, so he has a test sample, and it's what we can do to help his people that matters. And there are people too. What we can do to help others. All we need is a test. Make up your elevator speech before you go in. Have a year that they can go back to so they can see your recovery. People don't redo their blood chemistry unless their food changes and their activity changes. This is something they can see and verify. And we can say, give me access to other people. Give me a room once a month and give me the people you want me to help. And I and others like me will come in and we will talk and maybe we can help some of them. Okay. That's what we can do. That's what speaks to my heart in this paragraph. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K., and excuse me for the interruption there at the beginning of your share. Joan Marie M., please share with us, followed by Shirley R.
Hi, this is Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada. By the grace and power and love of God. What I've heard so much on the line today was about the stream of misery and then the solution. And the solution for me was God and surrender not only my life but my food. And I can remember way back when I first came into program, I went to an institution that was for recovering for people with food disorders, eating disorders. And they said to me, well, you can be here all day, and then at night we let you out. And I thought, oh, my God, this is not going to work for me at all. I mean, I didn't eat that much during the day back then, but at night, oh my goodness, and then it progressed to eating all day and all night. So I'm so grateful that I have a solution today, and the solution is God, the source, and he gives me this program and all of you that share on this program to help me keep what he so graciously and mercifully given me, neutrality around the food. I mean, this is a miracle. That's all I can say. It's totally a miracle for a lady that could not stop eating constantly and being desperate and just desperate. So, and misery. I mean, there was no joy in my life. Today, as I see and help others grow and turn to their God, I see such joy in my heart. I mean, I'm smiling from the inside out. What a privilege to be able to be in this program. What a glorious gift that my God has given to me. I'm so grateful and grateful and grateful. And with that, I pass. And thank you, Dawn. You're a blessing.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. Shirley R., please share with us, followed by Sarah K. Star 1, Shirley. Okay, perhaps Shirley had to step away. Sarah, are you...
Wait a minute, I'm here.
Oh!
I am in the stream of misery, and I need the help and support of my fellows, and I am desperate and need to put down the food and get with it spiritually with God and surrender. Thank you, Dawn, for your service.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shirley. Do you want to tell us the state that you're calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from California.
Very good. Shirley R. from California. Thank you so much, Shirley. Sarah K., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. It's actually Sarah N. I just got in there at the last second.
Okay.
So, thank you. My name is Sarah N. I'm a grateful recovery compulsive overeater in California. And I just want to first say thank you, Dawn, for your service, for all who are doing service on this meeting. Thank you to all who have showed up to attend the meeting, for those who have shared. There's never ever been a Vision for You meeting that I have regretted being on. It is such a blessing to have this specific format and to have the instructions and to literally just take this book apart one paragraph at a time. And as I was reading, you know, through this paragraph and listening, you know, as it's being read and what was jumping out for everyone, I kept, you know, looking at each sentence, and even each sentence is such a gem. I mean, you know, starting, our friend proceeded to tell him. I mean, this is like step 12. I mean, we're opening our mouths. We're sharing the message, whether it's with each other, with people in the hospital, with doctors, and with such good effect. I mean, it wasn't just like, hey, by the way, there's this program, it works, you know, but they tell them, and it was such good effect that the doctor agreed to a test among his patients. So, I'm echoing what I heard, like that when we can share this message in a way that, you know, can convince that doctor, then all of a sudden that doctor opens up and becomes willing, you know, to like to do this experiment, right? So, all right, among his patients and certain other alcoholics from a clinic which he attends. So, and I'm sitting here pondering, you know, if I was to go to my doctor, who, of course, you know, all of our doctors, just, you know, you need to lose weight, eat healthy, get exercise, great. How? And I would love to proposition a doctor, any doctor, anywhere, who loved scientific research and facts. Say, look, study. You know, take 30 people, 10 people, do the intuitive eating, do X, Y, and Z, whatever you suggest, and then do another 30 people. Do a meeting every day. Have them get a sponsor. Have them go through the big book. I mean, wouldn't that just be a miracle to have them do the experiment for themselves and be convinced, you know, especially psychiatrists. And we have been given so much in this book with the doctor's opinion and the psychiatrist and Carl Jung and all these people who tried everything, you know, that didn't work. And we're the living proof. We are the proof that this program works. You know, we are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So grateful again to all of those of you on the line doing service and for this book and for the opportunity to share. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Ann. And what state were you calling from? I didn't catch it.
No worries. Northern California.
Very good. Thanks so much. Sarah Ann from California. We have time for one more share. So if you haven't shared in the last couple days, if you'd like to give me your name and first initial of your last name.
Don K.
Melissa
Don
Joe.
Don K. and Melissa Joe. We'll see if we have time. Oh, Joan K.
Joshua W.
Okay. You know what? I so appreciate the enthusiasm. But we first started with, I thought it was Don K. and then Melissa after that. And the others, please come back another day. But if Don K. Could go ahead and share.
Hi. Thank you, Don K. Don, thank you for your service. I'm Don K., gratefully recovered in Virginia by the grace of God. I really... attached to the piece within the reading that referred to the doctor agreeing to the test among his patients and certain others, because that spoke to me in the sense I perceived some amount of helplessness on his part as a helper, as a person who wants to serve others, wants to help others, wants to find a way to cure this stream of misery of his patients. But, you know, it was just a reminder that that the solution does not happen through the medical establishment or anything like that. It requires this solution, the spiritual solution. And and I related to it as I've become a new sponsor myself, and just realizing how important it is for me to separate my desire to help others as
time.
Though it's up to me. I'm sorry. Oh, is that time?
It is time. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Don Kay. And I apologize. I didn't keep track of the time there, but Melissa, please come back tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. And we're now going to close with a thank you to everyone who shared. We're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Laura L.W. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. If your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got, see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you until then.